You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Roslyn Scott and Don Zur. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm June Siegel.
And I'm Roslyn Scott. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris host the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. At 9, on Alternative Radio, former California State Senator Tom Hayden speaks on a climate change. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host D. May Roberts speaks with Michelle Fuji and Toru Watanabe about Unit Sozo, Portland's newest taiko group and their first original work, 88 Hachi Hachi. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Andre Middleton reports some local art news and interviews photographer Larry Swick. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in last week's fall membership drive. And if you missed it, it's not too late. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. And stay tuned for an interview with Mignon Hailey, a native flute player and one of the organizers of this Wednesday's Buffalo Field Campaign Roadshow at the Bison Coffee House in Portland. Good night, June.
Good night, Roslyn.
Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Maybe you could start by just introducing yourself and what is the Buffalo Field Campaign?
Hi, my name is Mignon Helly, and I'm on this West Coast Roadshow with the Buffalo Field Campaign. Buffalo Field Campaign is a nonprofit organization based out of West Yellowstone, and it's to protect the last of the wild, genetically pure buffalo.
And what does that mean, the last of the genetically pure buffalo?
Well, if you know a little bit of history about the buffalo, you know, this country used to, you know, as far as you could see, was filled with buffaloes roaming free. And the Europeans in the 1800s decided, you know, they wanted to use the buffalo for other things. And so they ended up slaughtering practically, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 million of them, so that what was left was 23 buffalo in Yellowstone Park, in what is known today as Yellowstone Park. So I think Theodore Roosevelt, who was into hunting, apparently wanted to preserve the last of the wild buffalo, so he created this reserve in Yellowstone Park, which still exists today. So out of that 23 buffalo that were left, they began expanding a population till it grew to about 10,000 is what I understand. And then there was the fight over the grass. The Europeans also brought the cows, and they wanted that grassland. So it's a competition for the grass in Yellowstone. So what's been happening is that the Department of Livestock, with the help of the government and our taxpayers' money, is being used to reduce the buffalo by slaughtering them. So every year they reduce a certain amount of buffalo, so that I think last year there may have been about 4,400, and I think this year they wanted to reduce it by another 900, so they slaughtered, I think, this year already 800. But in that process, they're also, as you know, are hazing the buffalo. So every time they step out of bounds, they haze them back into the park, and in doing so, a lot of them, you know, die.
One of the justifications that I've heard from federal officials is there is a disease that they claim is passed from buffalo to cattle. Could you address that?
What I understand is that there was never, ever an incident of that brucellosis being passed on naturally to the buffalo. Supposedly there was an experiment, and that's how it was passed on, but there was never a case of a buffalo actually having brucellosis nor passing it on to other animals. So that's a farce. But that's another excuse to slaughter the buffalo.
What are the people with the Buffalo Field Campaign doing to try to protect these last wild buffalo here in the U.S.?
Okay, the volunteers are out there. They're being taught to use radios as well as video cameras to actually film what they're doing out there to the buffalo, because they cannot approach there and get involved, otherwise they'll be arrested and put in jail, and that's not good. So the whole purpose of training the volunteers to go out there in the field and record everything that's happening to the buffalo, so that with these videos, we can educate the people and bring awareness to what's happening out there, because people don't know. They go out there during the summer, they see the buffalo roaming, they think everything is hunky-dory, but little do they know that when winter comes around, the whole process again of reducing the number of buffalo continues with the slaughtering and the hazing.
Now, and what's happening here in Portland? I understand there's an event coming up. Can you talk about the event at the Bison Cafe?
Okay, there are going to be several events here in Portland or in the Oregon area. And the first one, when we come back from Washington, I think we'll be in Olympia, Washington, and then we come back to Portland. So on Wednesday, September 23rd, there's the Bison Coffee House, which hasn't been around that long. And they're at 3941 Northeast Cully. That's Cully Boulevard. I'm sure all of you listeners are more familiar with the streets around here than I am. But anyway, so there will be a presentation along with music and a film to educate the people what's happening with the buffalo. So I'm looking at a flyer, and it says here, "Come stand with the buffalo. America's last wild buffalo needs your help. Join us for a night of stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and the ongoing struggle to protect them." It's a Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 roadshow featuring indigenous soul music by Goodshield Aguilar and Mignon Helly, and that would be me, and storytelling and video by Mike Meese, co-founder of the Buffalo Field Campaign. Again, that's Wednesday, September 23rd, at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard. Telephone number 503-288-3941. This is a free event. Drop in. Donations are welcome. And for more information about our schedule, because we will be at several other venues in Oregon, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. www.buffalofieldcampaign.org.
Great. And that's 7 to 9 p.m. Wednesday on the 23rd of September.
Right. And KBOO is sponsoring this, so they will be there recording our event and sharing it with all of you later in case you cannot come to the Bison Coffee House. But I encourage you all to please come. That's Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 to 9 p.m.
Thank you so much. Again, I've been speaking with Mignon Haley. She is a flute player and an activist for the buffalo, the last wild buffalo there at Yellowstone Park with the Buffalo Field Campaign. Thanks for being with us, Mignon.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
The voices of Gajili, yeah, and you'll hear Mike Meese talking about what the Buffalo Field Campaign is, why it is so important, not just to people who are standing on the land there defending the last of our wild buffalo, but really to all of us. I am honored to speak with you. The music is just incredible. You've been described as eco-warriors, and indeed, I think it's an apt, that's very apt. So talk a little bit first about how you two got involved, what your involvement is with the Buffalo Field Campaign.
Well, we're a grassroots media organization. We've been in existence since 1997. Back then, Mike Meese, the co-founder of the campaign, he happened to be traveling through Yellowstone in the wintertime, and he witnessed hundreds and hundreds of buffalo being killed. And he went and asked why they were doing this. You know, it was the Department of Livestock doing it. And they were pretty rude to him. They told him that it was none of his business. He should just leave. So he, Mike, you know, was videotaping what was going on, and then a month later he took that video to different tribal people to see, you know, to let them know what was going on and see who could possibly help stop the situation. So my aunt Rosalie Little Thunder came out that winter, and you know, she was the first Native person to come out and see with her own eyes what was happening with our last genetically pure wild relatives. So she helped Mike start the Buffalo Field Campaign. And we've been in existence for about 18 years now. And we're a media organization. We basically just document all the atrocities against the buffalo by the Department of Livestock. And now, unfortunately, the Intertribal Buffalo Council are behind the slaughter program as well. So we hold parties accountable for their actions against the buffalo.
But Mike, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about, on the website, there are some really great direct action opportunities. There's so much that we can do. Do you want to talk some more about the field campaign?
Well, I think there's not enough weight placed in what I refer to as bearing witness and holding our government accountable for what they're spending our money with. And that's what we mainly focus on, is having video cameras and still cameras out in the field and having their every action that they do documented and show the world what's happening. And I mean, we've witnessed that changing behavior, our presence has unfortunately started the hazing, because they no longer want to be shown killing these babies and these mama buffalo. And so the power of the video camera and holding government agencies accountable really can make a difference in the long run. And that's, you know, one of the foundations of our nonprofit is just bearing witness, showing the world and You know, we offer that opportunity to anybody that wants to come out, you know. So we teach them how to run these cameras. We teach them how to be in the right place at the right time and how to make a change. And, you know, it also shows people that they're worth, you know, that we need them, that they're part of something bigger. And together, when we all work together, we can fight for this change in a united way. And that's something that I'm very proud of that we've done for the last 18 years. I think the one thing that the Buffalo teach us is how to live together again, how to respect and honor our diversity as a strength instead of another dividing and conquering ourselves. We don't need a house full of clones of people. We need diversity and people that think outside the box, that want to create change for the good of all people, not just for their little clique of people.
Yeah, it seems like the governor of Montana never saw this coming, never expected this. They plan to just go ahead with the slaughter undetected. It's winter. Who's going to be out there? No one's watching. Just go ahead and slaughter them. We've got just a couple more minutes. I want to ask Goodshill a little bit more about music, activism, art, and how what a powerful tool all of this is in protecting what's really of value. The rest of this, of the trappings of malls and whatnot, that's worthless. But what you are about, that has abiding value. Can you talk a bit about that, Goodshill?
Yeah, for me, I mean, grew up with a lot of musicians in my family, so music was kind of natural for me. I was very shy growing up, you know, but like, I don't know, family members and friends who know me from growing up can't believe I stand in front of people and play music and talk, you know.